You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN.
We have Joe Wiz joining us now. He's got his own gambling show here on 98.7 ESPN every Saturday morning. I laid the three with the Brahmas. I need them to have a better second half here. Defensively, I thought they would really come out and hold this Memphis team down. So they held DC to 12 last week. So I'm not happy with the score right now, Joe.
Yeah, well, don't worry. There's still time. Anytime there's time left, I haven't been following it much, but I think that the momentum, as people like yourself that are going to be getting covering the action, I think a lot of people are going to take more interest in it as we go along.
So let's dive right into it. We've got March Madness action coming your way, 6 o'clock tip off. And it tips off, of course, with NC State going up against Purdue. NC State getting 9.5 in some places. I like this. You and I talked about it last week. I like this NC State team. 9 straight elimination games that they've won against very good talent. Duke, Marquette, Texas Tech, North Carolina. Watch out for DJ Burns. I like NC State getting the points. What say you?
Yeah, we take a look at the Wolfpack. It just gives me chills thinking about it when Jimmy V and Wolfpack knocked off the powerful Houston Cougars back in 1983. That's the last time they've made it here to the Final Four, and it's only the 6th-11 seed since 1979, Anita, to reach the national semis. And as you mentioned, NC State, this Cinderella team, sometimes you just have to throw the records out the window. I mean, they beat everybody. Duke, Marquette, Oakland, Texas Tech, and then, of course, they ran through the ACC tournament, winning 9 in a row. 7-2 against the spread. And Purdue, they had their hands full last week with Tennessee. They got by Tennessee, Gonzaga, Utah State, and Grambling State. I know the public is all over Purdue in this game here, but I like NC State. Maybe not to pull off the upset, but it wouldn't shock me. But getting 9 points with a team that's on such a Cinderella run, it just reminds me of when they did it in 83. I think this game is going to turn into a low-scoring defensive struggle, and NC State is going to be there at the end, and it all depends on how they can contain Zach Edey. It's going to be a great matchup, though, to see Burns and Edey, but I'm taking the 9 points.
Yeah, so you and I are on the both, we're both on the same side. Some prop bets here that I like. Edey over 13.5 rebounds. Edey is 7'4", 300 pounds. DJ Burns is 6'9", 279 pounds. Edey had 16 rebounds against Tennessee. The Wolfpack, 181st in the nation in offensive rebounding. So I think Edey gets his in the paint. Also, I'm going to go Lawyer, over 1.5 three-pointers made. I think Edey's going to draw all the attention. And folks might not be aware of this, but Purdue is the second best three-point shooting team in the country, shooting 40% from outside the arc. And so I think Lawyer gets his over 1.5 three-pointers made. Like any of those, Joe?
Well, Edey last week against Tennessee, and Tennessee's a very good defensive team. He had 40 points in Edey and 16 rebounds. I do like the scenario for getting the rebounds. I think that Edey, that's going to be the key to the game here. They just can't let him get all these rebounds. 16 of them last week against a good defensive team. If the game gets out of hand, then I think there'll be more rebounds for Edey. But I think if it's going to be a close game here, that one be, I would like the over the rebound total for Edey. That's one I did look at.
And then, of course, later on this evening, you've got UConn. Going up against Alabama. Now, this is a UConn team. They're just steamrolling people. They're just kicking ass and killing people by like 15 points, if not more. They've won 11 straight, 10-1 against the spread. They've covered 26 of 38 games this season. I know you don't like laying double digits, but I don't mind doing it here with this UConn team. I think they're playing basketball. They're from another planet. So I'll lay the 11.5. What say you in this Bama matchup?
Yeah, we have a contrast of styles here. Alabama, the number one scoring team in all of college basketball, 27 overs, just 9 under. They beat Clemson, North Carolina, Grand Canyon, and Charleston. And we know what UConn has done. They haven't lost a game in the tournament the last 2 years, and they've steamrolled everybody. Now, Anita, one interesting scenario that we have to take a look here is that, when UConn played their regional games, they played at the Barclays. That was pretty much a home court for them. Then they went up to Boston, and that was obviously home court as well. Now they're going out and playing at State Farm Stadium. It's a football stadium. We've always talked about the peripheral vision of players and the teams, how they're going to adjust. So I think that this game might be a little bit closer than Sped indicates here. I did pick UConn before the tournament started to win it all, but I'm going to take a shot with Alabama. I mean, this team is capable of scoring. They've put up 100 points numerous times this year. 6 of 7 of their games have gone over. And listen, anybody can make a case for UConn and Danny Hurley and Klingon, but I think that getting 12 points. It's just a little bit too much for me. I'm going to take Alabama and to keep it close. I'm expecting UConn to advance, but I'm taking the dog with Alabama plus the 12.
You know, here's an interesting stat with UConn. They beat Illinois by 25 points despite going 3 of 17 from deep. Just marinating that in regard to just how good they are. I've got two prop bets that I like in this matchup as well, and that's Tristan Newton over 6.5 assists. Alabama's defense is not good. They play at a reckless pace of play. So therefore, I think the Huskies are going to have a lot of playing opportunities. He's averaging 7 assists a game. I think he'll have a lot of opportunities here. And then this is interesting because you mentioned the they're playing in at a football field. So, depth of basket is going to be much different. But you can wager that there's going to be over 30.5 three-pointers scored in these games. So NC State's averaging 7 three-pointers a game. Purdue, UConn, and Alabama all rank in the top 25 in regard to three-point shooting. Purdue averages 8 a game. UConn averages 8 a game. And Alabama averages 11 a game. I think this is a sneaky good bet. Again, over 30.5 total three-pointers in both games tonight. What say you?
Alabama might have 20 of them themselves because that's all they do is shoot threes. They are the highest scoring team. I do like it. And like I said, I am a little bit concerned, and that's why I think that Alabama might have a shot here. UConn's, this is their first home away from home game going all the way out to Arizona. I know that UConn has done nothing but win, and they went on a 30-0 run against Illinois. Head coach Brad Underwood just decided to keep going inside against Klingon, and I don't know why he did that. Because Illinois was more or less a 3-point shooting team, high scoring team. I think Alabama's going to come out there. Nate Oates is going to have his team focused, and I'm hoping that they can get hot and they keep it competitive here. I think UConn advances, but I'm taking Alabama, and I do expect a lot of 3-pointers there. So yeah, over, and I think Klingon's going to get a lot of rebounds in this game as well.
Joe Wiz joining us here on 98.7 ESPN. Again, keep in mind, he has his own gambling show every Saturday morning at 8 a.m. You could tune in to. Let's turn our attention to what's going on in the NBA. Small slate of games. 3:40 tip-off. Cleveland going up against the Lakers. Lakers favored by 5. The over-under is 229. What's your play here?
Yeah, well, all the Knicks fans out there, root for the Lakers, right? Because Milwaukee just keeps falling apart. Milwaukee lost to Toronto Raptors yesterday. Anita, Toronto had lost 15 games in a row, and I know Giannis didn't play. Something's going on in Milwaukee. They're just not responding to Doc Rivers. And the Knicks could play Milwaukee in the first round. They can knock them out if that matchup would happen, but it's unlikely. However, I think there's still a slim chance that the Knicks can catch Milwaukee. But be that as it may, getting back to this Laker-Cavs game, the reason why I mentioned the Knicks because the Lakers are obviously playing the Cavs here. But I'm expecting a high-scoring affair here. Lakers have won 8 of 9. They've gone over 44 times this year, 33 unders. They're home. They're coming off a successful road trip. They won 5 of 6. They only lost at Indiana. Cleveland Cavaliers have been going over recently, except their last game against Phoenix. They lost 122-101. But 6 of the last 7 games the Cavs have played have gone over. Donovan Mitchell's back in the lineup. We know he played against Phoenix, and he's been back the last few games. So I'm expecting a high-scoring, up-tempo game here. And we're going to root for the Lakers here, but looking for the total over 229 is my official play in this matchup.
I'm looking at the 76ers and the Memphis Grizzlies here, over under 209.5. That's what the line opened up with. It's now up to 210.5. So I would take the over here. 76ers have Embiid back, and the Memphis Grizzlies have been scoring. And the over is hit, I want to say, 5 straight, I think 8 of their last 9. So that was my best bet earlier this morning on ESPN bet. But again, at that point in time, it was over 209.5. It's now jumped to 210.5. Some baseball. In just a few minutes, you've got the Marlins and the Cardinals, that first pitch. But let's take a look at what's going on in our own backyard. The Mets and the Reds, first pitch is at 4:10. Severino on the bump, his first outing, no bueno, was not good. Your thoughts on this matchup? The Mets on the money line is plus 105. The Reds are minus 125, Joe.
I cannot trust Luis Severino. We talked about him last week. He got lit up last week against Milwaukee. He gave up 11 hits, 6 runs. And I don't know why the Mets even got Severino here. And the Lions, Mets won yesterday, which is a rarity as well. Nick Martinez is pitching. He didn't pitch poorly against Washington. Pitched 5 innings, gave up 6 hits, 3 earned runs here. But at a pick 'em, I'm clearly betting in pitching is the number one factor. We both know that with baseball. And I'll take anybody over Severino. So at a pick 'em on the road, I'm going with the Cincinnati Reds.
And then, of course, you've got the Toronto Blue Jays in town to take on the Yankees. Beautiful day. I'm sure it'll be a beautiful evening. My play here is Schmidt under 5.5 strikeouts. The Toronto Blue Jays, they're not a team that strikes out, and they're not a team that walks either. So, but you've got this Toronto Blue Jays team on the money line, minus 105, the Yankees minus 115. What's your play here?
Yeah, we take a look at it here. This is a rare Saturday night game. We don't get too many Saturday night games at the Bronx at 7:05. And Gausman's a very good pitcher, and he's done well against the Yankees. He pitched against them 4 times last year, 2-0. And the Yankees won the other 2 games, but Gausman was 2-0. His last 2 starts last year were against the Yankees on September 20th and the 26th. He didn't allow an earned run in 13 innings. Schmidt, like I said, he pitched on Sunday 5 1/3, 3 runs. I like the under in this game here. The total is 7.5 or 8. It opened up at 8 and some 8.5 up there. But I like under in this game, under 8 runs here. I know the Yankees didn't do anything yesterday here, but it's going to be cold, a little chilly, windy. But I'm expecting Gausman has done very well against the Yankees. I don't expect the Yankees to score up a lot of runs. And if Schmidt pitches the way he did on Sunday, I think that this total under 8 will come in.
Yeah, you had Soto went 0-for-4 yesterday, and Stanton has just been, I want to say, what is he batting, like 130 or something like that?
Stanton's got to go. I don't even know why he's in the lineup either. They pay him so much money, but at some point
Well, that's why he's in the lineup.
You got to write it off at some point.
Batting 120,
you know? It's
got 13
automatic out.
It's unbelievable. All right, before we let you go, any other plays, anything else on the slate that you're eyeing this afternoon or this evening?
Well, we got a lot of baseball action going on today. There is a baseball game. I do like Seattle Mariners to play the Milwaukee Brewers. It's at a pick 'em. I like Seattle in this game. I like Seattle out in the West as well in general for the whole season. But I do like Seattle to knock off the Milwaukee Brewers. And I know a lot of people are paying attention to horse racing, Anita. And I know you're going to be getting into it deep. There's a couple big races. The Wood Memorial takes place at Aqueduct today. I like the 9 horse with Tuscany with Pletcher and Franco, the 9 horse to win at the Wood Memorial. And a lot of people ask me about WrestleMania, but I don't know anything about WrestleMania. But good luck to everyone going to the link in Philly tonight and tomorrow.
There you go. Joe, appreciate you. Have a great day. Good luck with your picks.
Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Joe Wiz, again, he has his own gambling show, The Fine Line, right here on 98.7 ESPN every Saturday morning at 8 a.m. Make sure you tune into that. Quick break. We come back. Let's find out what's trending in our wide, wide world of sport. We find out what are the headlines out there.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN. This is Click.
Click, click, click.
Or don't. Click, click, boom. Very simply, here's the headline. Are you interested in clicking or not?
Yeah, it's time for Click or Don't Click, a fun way we take our tour around our wide, wide world of sport at 2:21 p.m. on this Saturday afternoon and find out what is trending based on the headlines. Our producers always lead the way. And, of course, that's Joe and Harvey this afternoon. Gentlemen, what you got for us?
All right. Have you heard the news around Cleveland Guardians ace Shane Bieber this morning?
I have not. Do fill us in.
So this is some sad news if you're a Guardian fan or an owner of Shane Bieber in fantasy like I am, or just want to root for him in general. He is set to have season-ending Tommy John surgery.
Oh, no.
After his ulnar collateral ligament is a little wonky. So he is going under the knife for Tommy John surgery. He will be out for the rest of the season and parts of next season. What this will also impact is he's a free agent at the end of the year. The Mets were one of the teams that were linked to potentially going out and signing him, so it will definitely impact his free agency, and he's not going to get as much money as potentially he could, and he was off to a torrid start leading the majors in two starts in strikeouts.
So where did you draft him in your baseball league? What round?
Fifth or sixth round.
Oh, wow. Okay. Well, you had some really good value there for, what, two starts, three starts? How many starts did he have?
He had two starts. He was supposed to have his third on Monday. So it stinks, but, you know, fantasy baseball season, the baseball season is a long one, and we'll see what this does for Cleveland and their potential route for a division title, because that AL Central is wide open.
You know, they say, you know, players who go and they go under the knife and they get this Tommy John surgery, that, you know, it's pretty much like they come back with this bionic arm, because what they're taking, right, they're taking a ligament, they're taking a tendon and they're replacing a ligament with a tendon. And tendons are a lot stronger than ligaments, from what I understand. So
I'm not a doctor, and I don't play one on TV. So
yeah, me neither. I'm just. Don't shoot the messenger. This is what I've heard: is that a lot of guys who do have the Tommy John surgery come back and feel that, you know, their arm is stronger, they pitch harder, faster. You know, it's kind of like it becomes the bionic arm. So there's that. What else you guys got?
Did you hear what Dawn Staley said about Caitlin Clark?
No.
She mentioned, since Iowa plays South Carolina now, that should Iowa win, that it would cement Caitlin Clark's status as a GOAT. Now, Breonna Stewart kind of kicked this off by saying that if Caitlin Clark did win with Iowa, that she would be in the GOAT conversation. And Dawn Staley agrees. Does Anita Marks agree?
You know, the greatest of all time in college, obviously, right? Because we spent a good portion of our show this afternoon that we kicked off at noon talking about Iowa beating UConn and, you know, what she means for just women's sports in general, period, right? And how her game is going to translate to the NBA. We don't know. So it's kind of like, do you guys agree that Tim Tebow was the best college player?
No.
Like there's some people out there who feel that Tim Tebow is hands down the greatest college football player ever.
He's on the Mount Rushmore. I don't know if I would give him the title as the GOAT.
And then we saw how he failed miserably in the NFL. So, and I'm not saying that that's going to happen with Caitlin Clark. I'm not saying that at all. I just want to make sure we're clarifying, like, that she would be the greatest college women's player of all time.
Yes.
Yeah, I would agree to that. I would agree. There's a poll out right now on ESPN. Would you rather see Iowa win a national championship for the first time, or would you rather see South Carolina go undefeated this season? And 67%, 40,000 votes, 67% say Iowa.
That's going to be printed out and stapled to the bulletin board in the South Carolina locker room on Monday night. I can guarantee you that. That's, wow.
That's bulletin board. Yeah, right? That's added motivation. Here's another one for you. Don't you feel that there's more pressure? Like, I don't know. I don't know it's healthy and unbelievable feat if it does happen. But, like, it's so much more pressure for this Gamecocks squad to come in and win because they haven't lost all season. It's like, you know, you haven't had that.
They're not the storyline, though. I feel like there's no pressure on South Carolina because no one's, I mean, we're talking about them right now, but in the grand scheme of things, no one's talking about them. They're going for a chance to go undefeated, and it's radio silence on their part. I feel like there's no pressure on Dawn Staley's team to pull off. And would they be underdogs in the game? An undefeated team going up against Caitlin Clark as an underdog?
What do you mean?
Would you favor Iowa or South Carolina in that game?
No, South Carolina is favored by 6. 6.5, I think.
But in the court of public opinion, they're the underdog. Because they, you know, you just read the poll. 67% of those people that participated in that poll want to see Caitlin Clark win a national title.
Right. More so than the Gamecocks going undefeated. What else is trending at this time of day?
Are you caught up in the happenings of one Bronny James?
I read something about this. Why don't you do share?
So you may have seen that Bronny James was entering the transfer portal yesterday. Well, not too long after that, he also declared for the NBA draft. Writing on Instagram, he said, "I had a year full of ups and downs, added with the growth of me as a man, a student, and an athlete. I've made the decision to enter the NBA draft while maintaining my college eligibility. I will also be entering the NCAA transfer portal." Is he going to get drafted?
So I read this article, and so the talk and speculation is that he will go in the second round of the NBA draft. But I guess, so he entered the transfer portal as well, and then he'll make a decision what to do. Listen, coming in, he wasn't a 5-star. He was a 4-star athlete. Granted, you know, he had that the heart situation, the cardiac situation, and God bless, he's okay. He's only played 25 games, but again, keep in mind, you know, it had to be something that they had to ramp up because of the cardiac and the heart issue that he had. So he's played in 25 games, but he's only started in 6 of those 25. He only averages 5 points a game, 3 rebounds, and 2 assists. He's only shooting 27% from behind the arc. I mean, obviously, the reason that he's in the news and the reason that he has a headline and all of this is because he's LeBron James's son. And, you know, we know that LeBron James, one of his bucket lists before he retires, is to be able to grace an NBA court with his son. So I think it's going to be... So to answer your question, do I think he gets drafted? Yes. Where does he go? I think he'll be lucky to go in the second round of the NBA draft. Is he worthy of it? I don't think we really know because, again, he's coming into the season having this cardiac situation. If he didn't have it, would he play more minutes? You know, I don't think we're getting like a good assessment of his talent. you know, will he be a top? Will he be a starter in the NBA? I don't think so. Will he be a role player, a guy coming off the bench? More than likely. But at the end of the day, who's going to draft him? Don't you think it's going to be a team that either it's going to be the Lakers because they feel they owe it to LeBron, or it's a team who's going to want LeBron to come to them in 2025?
I could think of a team that's kind of desperate for another star that might take a flyer on Bronny James.
Okay.
How about the Knicks?
Whoa.
They got a bunch of second-round picks. Why not? What do they got to lose? They want the secondary star next to Brunson. LeBron's at a different point in his career. He's not the lead banana anymore. Anthony Davis is the best player on the Lakers right now. You need a secondary star. You draft Bronny James. LeBron's on the way in a year. Why not? People want to get rid of Julius Randle anyway. So LeBron could fill those shoes as well. This is a match made in heaven. Plus, LeBron loves playing in the Garden. What a better way to knock off everything on his bucket list as he ends his NBA career than to end his career with the Knicks? Why not?
Wow. So you think the Knicks would spend a second-round draft pick?
Absolutely. If it means getting LeBron here and all that would bring, absolutely.
Wow. Harvey, agree or disagree? Can you see the Knicks doing that?
No. I think the Knicks actually value second-round picks.
I don't know. I see the Lakers doing LeBron a favor.
What do they owe him? He won a championship with them. He's been doing the same LeBron stuff that he's done in every other stop he's been. And it feels like Rob Pelinka and Jeannie Buss and company don't really want to deal with that anymore.
It will be interesting to see what happens. Anita Marks back with you live. It's golf season. Beautiful days, beautiful views. Reminds me of Rock Spring Golf Club. Have you heard of it? Well, if you listen to me, you should, because it's one of my favorite courses. I talk about it all the time during golf season. It's New Jersey's premier daily fee golf club. Golf Week calls it one of the best courses you can play in New Jersey. 6,600-yard par 71 course, rolling tree line, site featuring many of the trademark design elements of Seth Rayner. Just trust me, stay out of his sand traps. No matter what your level or play is or your handicap, it's a fantastic public golf course. One of my favorite courses to walk, and I love to walk. Visit them at rockspringgolfclub.com. Have a look around. You can reserve a tee time on the site as well. They've got junior and adult golf instructions, golf leagues, and so much more. If you love golf as much as I do, you will love Rock Spring Golf Club. Find them at rockspringgolf.com. Again, it's that time of year. We can feel it. The weather's changing. This week it's supposed to be absolutely beautiful. Head out there. Tee it up. Rock Spring Golf Club. Easy to find. A great place to play. Again, that website, rockspringgolf.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN.
Anita Marks with you on this Saturday afternoon here on 98.7 ESPN. Before we start talking hockey, let's go to Ron calling in from Westchester. He wants to talk about the Knicks. Ron, welcome in.
Yeah, hi. Thanks, Anita. Forgive me in advance if this comes across as a bit callous and rude. And I never caught the gentleman's name. I'm not sure if he's a guest or if he's hosting the show with you that mentioned drafting Bronny James and having him come to the Knicks along with his father. But that is absolutely ridiculous. I am very upset to hear that. As a diehard Knicks fan, I'd rather go the duration of my life without a championship than having LeBron James there, let alone his son, through a nepotistic hire. LeBron had his chance to be here. He could have been here in his prime in 2010. If he liked to play in the Garden so much, he had his opportunity, and that ship sailed. So, again, I really hope that I'm not in the minority of Knicks fans that feels this way. But I don't need LeBron James in the Knicks jersey. That opportunity came and went, and he's not an alpha dog. If he was, he would have been here back in 2010.
Solid call, Ron. And thanks for the phone call. We hear you loud and clear. We'll see what happens as we get closer to, of course, the NBA draft. But Greg Wyshynski, the Puck Daddy, is joining me. I know I get criticized every now and then that I don't talk enough hockey, so why not? Let's do it now. The Rangers in action tomorrow against the Canadiens. They are favored on the run line, minus 125, on the money line, minus 325. So, Greg, let's start with there. Let's start right there. Your thoughts on this Rangers-Canadiens game.
Yeah, you know, Montreal is obviously not a team that has anything close to playoff aspirations. I don't think those ended a long time ago, but they have had an uptick in quality later in the season. I think at one point they were winning like around five out of their last seven or something along those lines. So, you know, you've got a lot of guys that are trying to, you know, lay the groundwork for what they hope will be a turnaround season next season. They've been playing pesky hockey. They're not an easy out, even though they're completely out of the playoff picture. So should be a little bit of a challenge for the Rangers on Sunday, but obviously the way the Rangers have been rolling lately, hopefully not too much.
Let's look big picture, right? In some of the futures odds that are out there that you feel that really have some value and that we can jump on right now. In looking at division winners, right? Like anything that stands out to you, like, Carolina winning the Metro, let's say over the Rangers, right? Like you could get them at plus 850. Anything that stands out to you?
Well, that's an interesting one. You know, obviously that is a race that Carolina is very much still in. They finished on the road with four straight games. And I actually think I like them a little bit more at home than I do on the road. So that's something to keep in mind with the Carolina Hurricanes chasing the Rangers in that in that division. Then, of course, there's the Edmonton-Vancouver situation. You know, Edmonton still trying to get traction and maybe catch Vancouver for first overall in the Pacific Division. Vancouver and Edmonton actually meet later in the season, April 13th, in fact, which could be a 4-point swing for them. So the way that McDavid's been rolling and the way that Vancouver has been a little bit up and down, I'm not counting out the Oilers from maybe taking the Pacific Division either.
I know you've liked the Dallas Stars for quite a while. And, you know, for them to win the Central minus 750, but the Colorado Avalanche at 5-1, worth a shot there?
No, I think Dallas is really locked in right now. And not only in the sense that they have one of the deepest collections of forwards in the league and, you know, their acquisition of Chris Tanev, a defenseman at the trade deadline, has really filled out that group. But the big news for Dallas has been the reemergence of their goalie, Jake Oettinger, who for most of the season had been kind of a disappointment. I mean, I think a lot of us came into the year expecting that he was going to challenge for the Vezina Trophy as the league's best goalie, had not had a strong season. But then within like the last month, he has been lights out, maybe the best goalie in the league. So with him going and they're going to keep riding him to get him prepared for what should be a long postseason run, I have a feeling that Dallas is going to be sitting atop the Central Division, which gives us Colorado and Winnipeg most likely in the first round, and then Dallas maybe playing either the Kings or the Nashville Predators in the first round.
Again, Greg Wyshynski joining us here at 98.7 ESPN, looking at some of the futures that you could jump on right now before the postseason begins. Some interesting odds for teams to make the playoffs. The Penguins at plus 340, the Islanders at plus 110, the Flyers at minus 115, the Red Wings at minus 115, and the Washington Capitals at plus 155. One or two of these stand out to you that you feel worth to throw a little coin?
Yeah, it might be recency bias, but the Penguins stand out to me. They played a game against Washington earlier this week that ostensibly was a playoff game for both teams, and yet only the Penguins were playing at a playoff pace in that game. Sidney Crosby has been insanely good in his last six or seven games, almost to the point of where he is making a late MVP push if the Penguins can make the playoffs. This was always a team that had the possibility to string together a bunch of wins and make this thing interesting. And I think right now they're locked in. They've certainly played some really good hockey lately. And keep in mind also, they've got their chance to play Detroit on April 11th. They've got their chance to close out against the Islanders on April 17th. So they've got some 4-point swing games on the schedule as well to make things really interesting.
President's Trophy, Rangers favorite at -140, Dallas at +190, Boston at 10-1. Rangers foregone conclusion. And do you feel that there's still value there at -140?
Not a foregone conclusion. In fact, I think Boston could even be in the mix too for the President's Trophy with the way that they're finishing. I think, like I said, Dallas having, gone on an 8-2 streak recently, matching that of the Rangers, they've been playing really, really good hockey. I think if you're looking for value there, I'd take a sprinkle on the Bruins. In fact, I find that to be kind of interesting. I know that the Rangers and Dallas, have had games in hand at certain times, but the Bruins have some winnable games, I think, later in the season, and I'll be intrigued to see exactly how they close it out if you're looking for a value play.
10-1, that is a lot of value there. Are you surprised that the Rangers are at -140?
No, I'm not. The Rangers have been really playing well, and I think that strength of schedule is part of that equation. Not only the game against Montreal, but they're playing, they've got the Islanders twice, and obviously those are going to be big games, and the Rangers will be up for them, and then they close out against Ottawa, which is a very winnable game. So I think there's a certain strength of schedule thing going on there too for the Rangers.
All right, so looking really big picture here, right? Who's going to represent the East? Who's going to represent the West? Who's going to win this whole damn thing?
My preseason pick was Edmonton and Toronto. I'm going to stick with that. I mean, I got a ride. They're both in the playoffs. If it happens, I look like a genius. But, the two teams that I think are worth monitoring right now are the Dallas Stars in the West, the Vegas Golden Knights in the West, who are going to probably get healthy at the right time, much like they did last season. And they're getting really good goaltending out of Logan Thompson, too, which bears watching. I mean, obviously, the Aiden Hill run last year is what really gave Vegas the cup. If they get good goaltending again from Logan Thompson, who knows? And then in the East, I'm just fascinated by Carolina. I got to be honest with you. I think that they're going to pull a winnable series in the first round, whether it's Washington or Philly or whomever, Pittsburgh, and then that 2-3 series. I think that's a manageable series for them. And the acquisitions of Jake Gensel and Evgeny Kuznetsov at the trade deadline, to me, are two proven playoff performers for a team that has often needed that just one goal in a key situation to get over the hump. So I really like Carolina, but I do want Edmonton and Toronto, so I look smart in the end.
So Carolina right now favored to win the East at 3-1, Toronto at 7-1. And then Edmonton at +380 out of the West. Before we let you go, what about some of the awards out there that you feel might have some good value?
Well, it's interesting. So we ran our NHL Awards Watch on ESPN.com this week. You can check it out. It's the actual ballots from the actual voters for these awards, so you get a really good sense of where things stand. The three awards I just want to mention real quickly: the Hart Trophy for MVP. Nathan MacKinnon has a very healthy lead. Like 77% of the first place votes that we received went to MacKinnon, but that support was wavering a little bit when it came to Connor McDavid potentially leading the league in scoring, and then also Austin Matthews potentially hitting 70 goals. Those are some numbers that maybe the voters can't ignore and could eat into MacKinnon's support. The Rookie of the Year race, it's close, but it's Brock Faber right now of the Minnesota Wild with the inside track over Connor Bedard of the Chicago Blackhawks, who of course everyone assumed was going to be Rookie of the Year. And then the one to really watch is the Norris Trophy for Best Defenseman. Quinn Hughes of the Canucks has been leading the field for pretty much the whole season. But here comes Roman Josi of the Nashville Predators. The Predators, the hottest team in the second half of the season, and he is getting the lion's share of the credit for it. He, Quinn Hughes had over 70% of the first place votes last month. That's down to 54%, and a lot of it went in favor of Roman Josi as far as the support.
So Hughes, by the way, favored at minus 650. Roman sitting there at 18 to 1. Faber, by the way, 14 to 1. Just FYI.
Wow, and he's 14 to 1 for the Calder?
14 to 1.
I would take a sprinkle.
Look at you. Look how excited you just got. That's a run, don't walk.
Run to your local ice cream shop and get the sprinkles and sprinkle all you want, because I'm telling you, the voters are really impressed with Faber and how much he's played for the Wild and how well he's played for the Wild. Listen, in the end, it could still be Bedard. He's had a great season and he's got all the hype in the world. But I'm telling you, man, there's a better than good chance that Brock Faber could steal this thing.
And for the heart, McKinnon is minus 360. You said Connor McDavid, he's 10 to 1.
Yeah, McDavid, I think, has an inside track. There's Nikita Kucherov there, too. And then the Austin Matthews one, I'm not sure if he can steal this thing in the same way that McDavid could. But if he does hit 70 goals this season, there's going to be a lot of people that can't deny the enormity of that feat. And there's a chance that he could pull that thing out for MVP.